So I wasn't really planning on talking about this topic, to be honest with you, but two people mentioned it to me. Michael mentioned it to me, and a Talmud of mine just the other week reached out to me and asked me to explain to him a little bit about the idea of Shemitah and Prozbul. I said, you know what? We're going to have a whole share on the topic. Now, I don't know if we'll cover it all in the next 2 weeks. I hope we do, but it won't be that exciting to talk about it after Rosh Hashanah, that's for sure. But between this week and next week, I hope we'll cover the major concepts of Prozbul. This week, we're going to discuss the movement that requires a Prozbul, the background information, and really, perhaps even more controversial, do we really need a Prozbul? Do we even really need a Prozbul in the first place? And let's just get a little bit of the background. What's the whole Prozbul discussion based on? And maybe next week we'll get into what exactly the Prozbul is, how it looks, how it works, how it functions, and things like that. So that's a little bit background. We'll start a little bit with the background over here. What's the Prozbul? What does it have to do with the year post-Shemitah? What's it all about? So let's go back to the beginning. Is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, in the parsha that we had two weeks ago. The Torah tells us like this. Miketz Sheva Shonim. Taseh Shemitah. At the end of the 7 years, you should make a Shemitah. What does it mean to make a Shemitah at the end of the 7 years? It says the pasuk, V'zeh dvar ha-Shemitah, Shemot kobal ma'ashe yodoi, ashe yasheh bireyeyu, lo yigois es reyeyu v'esochiv. You may not collect any debt against your brother, against your friend, ki korah Shemitah la'ashem. This is a Shemitah to Hashem. Now, a couple of interesting things over here. First of all, the Torah says there's a lav. You're not permitted to collect a loan after the Shemitah. What does it mean? Miketz Sheva Shonim Taseh Shemitah, which means at the end of the Shemitah year is when all the loans, all the debt is gone. When does it start? Miketz.
Zero, does that mean you can't, or you have to wait another year?
No, it means the debt is gone, canceled. It's like Biden's dream, right? Not all debt, but a lot of debts, we have to get to what type of debt is canceled. But the simple debt is canceled is a loan. Guy borrows $500, he borrows $1,000. That loan is gone, comes this next Sunday night. The moment Shkia hits on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, that debt goes poof.
Regardless of any contract that's written with the
loan. We'll get to that, obviously. Again, if nothing fancy was done, if two guys met on the street 6 months ago, and they said, listen, I need $500, he said, hey, no problem, $500, pay me back, whatever, but by the end of the year, assuming like that, comes Rosh Hashanah, that debt goes, magically disappears. It's an amazing concept. Why does it happen this way? The Mefarshim talk about it, the Sefer Chinuch. Again, a lot of it has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu probably feels bad for the poor. That's, we can get into a much deeper conversation which side is Hashem a Republican or a Democrat, but he definitely leans at some points where he feels bad for the poor, that's for sure. And we'll see, even though Prozbul might have been really a takana for the poor. But at the end of the day, that's the fact. The fact is, Miketz Sheva Shonim, at the end of the 7th year, what's the 7th year? The Shemitah year. So this past year, we all know was a Shemitah year, which is going to create a whole problem when we get to Arba Minim, where we're going to get our Dalet Mino from, if I can get to from Eretz Yisrael or not, maybe we'll have a share in that. But we're coming to the end of the Shemitah year. So at the end of the Shemitah year, when the Shemitah year closes, that's when all the debt goes gone. And after that, you no longer are allowed to even ask for the debt. If you go over to the guy after Rosh Hashanah to ask for the debt, you're over a lav. You're over a lav. Now we'll see, you don't get Malkus for that lav, because it's Pashtus a lav Shein Bei Maisa. You didn't do anything. You just asked him for money. But it's a lav. It's a lav in the Torah. We're not permitted to ask for the debt back. So the Torah is...
You had a worker.
So again, for next week we have to get to, for someone, let's say, in your line of work, this is very relevant. Guy has people owing money. I did a job, services rendered. Right? That's not a loan. That's a choy. That's a different type of a schayvus. So we'll have to get to that. Maybe next week we'll have time to talk about it. But the simplest understanding, and the most common case, is a straight out loan. Anything that's not a straight out loan is probably different. A bill that you have for services rendered is not a loan. That's a different type of a hischaivus, for the most part. So what happens over here? So the pasuk says, you're not allowed to ask for the money, but you're not allowed to ask the money, lo yigois esrei'eyu, the esochiv. So first of all, this doesn't apply to non-Jews. So if you have a guy that owes you money, you go ask him for the money. But it says esochiv, esrei'eyu. So this is going to be very important for one of the major feet or legs that the Prozbul stands on is based on this pasuk, because there's really a mission in Shviyas, the Gemara quotes it in Gittin, that lets an example before Prozbul was instituted. If I took my debt, right, I have a whole stack of papers that says Reuven owes me $500, Shimon owes me $10,000. I take those papers and I give it over to Bezdin. I give over to Bezdin. I say, Bezdin, you take over my debt. So that the Mishnah says there's no problem. Bezdin can collect all they want. Why? Because then the pasuk Reyehu, it's a friend to friend. Bezdin is not your friend. It's a different type of relationship. That's really where Hillel got the power to do what he did, which we'll get to at some point. But this is just the pasuk. It's the pasuk in the Chumash. The Chumash says that at the end of the Shemitah year, all the dead goes gone, finished, never to return. You don't know the guy who died. However, and this is really where Hillel stepped in. We'll see in a second. But if you skip the pasuk test, it says in pasuk test, Hishamu l'cha, be careful. Pen ye'edover im levavcha b'liyal lemer kavish nasa shev v'shnasa shmitah. Maybe you're going to say to yourself, one second, a guy comes to my house in the middle of the shmitah year, asks me for money. I said, Mazav, you got to be crazy. If I give him money, I'm never going to see that money back again. Says the pasuk, v'ra incha b'chicha evyon v'loy sita noy, v'kara alecha al Hashem v'hi b'chachais. Hashem says, that's wrong. It's wrong not to lend your friend money when it's getting close to the end of the Shemitah, knowing that you're going to not get the money back. Now that's obviously very unfair to the wealthy and very fair to the poor. A guy who's poor says to himself, this is great. I'm going to wait till the end of the Shemitah here. I'm going to borrow money. And then I'll just the clock will tick down and I'll never pay him back and I'm good to go. So the pasuk says, if you're rich, do not refrain from giving loans because of that. The problem is, as the Gemara is going to tell us, many people did exactly do that, which is the impetus of why Hillel had to step in. Okay, so that's what we have in the Chumash. That's the whole sugya in the Chumash. The way it's described in the Chumash is basically all the loans disappear when we hit the end of the Shemitah year, which is going to be a week when we start, a week from this Sunday when we usher in Rosh Hashanah.
Could you explain what the difference between
Re'eyu
and
Achiv
is? I know that that's a...
Re'eyu is La'afuke Bezdin. Achiv is La'afuke Agoy. Now, sometimes the Gemara does say Re'eyu V'Layakum. We spoke about that once before. Sometimes the Gemara makes that drasha also. Re'eyu v'layakam. But here the Gemara uses it re'eyu v'loy bezdin. To exclude bezdin. Now there's a very lumdish shaila about Shemitah. How does Shemitah work? Does the malva actually have to say something at the end? Or does it go what they call in Yeshiva Shesprach, it's an afkasa de malka. Meaning Hashem takes off the loan. I don't need you to do anything. Who makes this loan disappear? So if you look in the, there are many Rishonim talk about it. I only picked a few. If you looked in the Mordechai and Maseches Gittin, again, the bulk of the sugyas of Shemitah's Ksafim, which is our sugya, is found in Maseches Gittin, about two blad of Maseches Gittin. Obviously, there are a lot of Mishnayis that talk about it, but the bulk of it is in Maseches Gittin, the fourth parak. Says the Mordechai, he says like this, well, fio in your nira, the Shemitah's, the Shvi'as hafkoso de Malkahu. He has that phrase. That if the king takes it off, which means we don't need you, the malva or the loiva, to play any role in why the loan is going to disappear. It's going to disappear because Hashem says it disappears. Even if you don't say anything, it's not like your talking is what makes it disappear. Even though you don't say the words, Mishamatani, even though you don't say the words, I'm ending, the Malva doesn't have to be a firm and say to the Malva, you should know, really, you owe me $1,000, but I am knocking off, you're not knocking off anything. Hashem is knocking off the loan, you're not doing anything. That's the opinion of the Mordechai, and therefore you don't need to say anything when Shemitah comes. You don't have to say anything, you don't have to tell your Loive, oh, by the way, you should know Loive. You're not doing anything. Hashem is forgiving the loan, whether you say something or whether you don't say something. However, there is a minority opinion in the Rishonim from the Sefer Yireyim. The Sefer Yireyim is of the opinion, no, that the way this works is that the Malva actually has to say to the Loive, yeah, the loan is getting knocked off. And if the Malva doesn't say to the Loive, then it doesn't work that way. It's a big chiddush. It's not accepted halacha l'mais. If you take a look at number 3 in the Sefer Yireyim, he writes, the choyv she'aval of shvius. Let's say a guy's debt crept into past Shvius, right? Which means, let's say a guy decides, Tzoyim Gedalia, he comes to his friend and says, you owe me $1,000 from a loan of last year. Now we're ready after Shemitah. Says the Sefer Yireyim, Eina Rasha Loive La'akvoy. The Loive is not allowed to hold it back. Ela Alpi Malve, she calls Man Shle Shemitu Malve, Chayiv Lefroya. Until the Malve does something, until the Malve says, yes, you're right, Shemitah knocks it off. He brings him to a din. Like Hashem commanded us. And then Bezdin will force the Malva. That the Malva will make a declaration. So you see from the Sefer Yireyim, not like the Mordechai. The Mordechai assumes it goes off automatically. Whatever the Malva says is irrelevant. You don't need his declaration. The Sefer Yireyim, the minority opinion in the Rishonim, he thinks you need an actual declaration from the Malva to take off the debt of the Shemitah.
And what is the
Re'eyim based on? So this Psukim, there's really Mishnayis, right? Because it says in the Pasuk, where's it quote over here? The Gemara says, Hamachzer choiv l'chaver b'shvius. Let's say a guy decides, the Loive feels bad for the Malva. And he wants to pay him. He's a mensch. You know, he's a, or maybe he has plans of borrowing from money from him in the future. So he wants to not burn any bridges. So the Mishnah says, if you want to return, so the Malva has to tell Oliva, I want you to know you don't owe me any money. That he has to make that declaration. Not that that declaration is what decides whether or not the loan is butthole or not, but you have to say that. And if he says, okay, then you kabbal mimenu, shenema v'zed dvar ha-shmita. Because it says in the pasuk, v'zed dvar ha-shmita. This is the words of the Shemitah. What do you mean the words of the Shemitah? Shemitah doesn't talk. So the Yireim says, yeah, you need to make a deeper. You as the Malva have to make a formal declaration, mishametani. While the other Rishonim say, no, that's not what it means. It just means that if he comes to you and offers to pay, you're supposed to tell him, you should know, by the way, you don't have to pay me. But, you know, you don't have to pay me, but if you want to, I'm more than happy to take the money. And you could take the money. There's nothing wrong if the Malva takes the money from the Loiva, as long as he tells the Loiva, you know you don't owe me the money. Now, it goes really a step further. The Chayv ends Sunday night when we usher in Rosh Hashanah.
So Friday before, let's say next Friday.
That's all still life.
Meaning what? The Malva can go to the
love
and say, I want my money.
Yeah, you owe me the money. The debt is still real. Once the end of Shemitah year finishes, all debts are erased. So if you don't collect then, it's gone.
So if he was supposed to pay because it expired, let's say Friday before Shabbat, he says, yeah, I'll get right back to you. Or like every other debtor does, they schlep it along.
Yeah.
Is it a shami where if he had that fear, you presented him to the obligation, and he just blew you up?
Unless the debt, we'll talk a little, unless the debt was structured, you don't owe me for another 10 years. So if you don't owe me for another 3 years, so then Shemitah doesn't knock that off. But if you owe me within the year, you know you owe me, you're just pushing it off. You're dragging your feet, and you're stalling. Also now it's Shemitah's over. So that technically would be excluded, it would be Shamut, and the Leiva wouldn't have to pay the Malva.
So you said if it's structured for 10 years,
then there would not, Shemitah would not knock it off.
Like a regular amateurized loan.
Exactly, like a regular loan that you have today. So that Shemitah wouldn't knock off. But if you have a regular loan between two guys, and you say pay me back whenever you can, you know, within the year, or within whenever you can. So if Shemitah, if the end of, again, the end of Shemitah, which we call this year the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, all loans at that moment are gone. If it's beyond the year, meaning if I set up that you're going to pay me first in 10 years.
Like you borrow money for a car for 6 months.
Right. So again, right. So if it's beyond the year, if you set it up, we'll see in Shulchan Aruch like this. The guy says, I'll pay me back in 10 years. So that's not going to be affected by the Shemitah. But if you say you'll pay me back whenever you get the money, you pay me back. So,
is it paying back in 6 months?
Is it within the year of Shemitah?
Yeah.
So then Shemitah would be effective.
No, the 6 months end in the middle of Shemitah.
I mean, after Shemitah.
You should have paid it 6 months or
not? Yeah, then Shemitah would knock that off. Again.
Should have been, in other words, he was supposed to have paid in 6 months.
Earlier.
A year ago, he made a loan.
Yeah.
He was supposed to pay it off 4 months.
Yeah. So then the debt would get knocked off.
He,
because if I structure the chay that's going to go beyond the year of Shemitah, that means.
No,
he didn't pay me 2 years ago, you mean?
He didn't pay you 6 months.
I don't know. I'm not sure what happens in that case. I mean, the guy, if it's an old loan, yeah, I would assume if it's an old loan that he has to pay. It's debt that's due this year, not an old loan. No, I don't think so. It has to be a recent new debt, not an old debt that just got slept out. Okay, but then the next week we'll get into more of the nitty gritty. So now, first of all, just for all of us that were joining us on our Sunday morning share, we love to talk about mitzvah shazman grama. So is this a mitzvah shazman grama? It's a positive mitzvah, right? What's the mitzvah? Shemoid kabal masha yadoi. That all the loans get knocked out. So are women? What? That's the answer. The answer over there is an asay and a loisasay. So we learned, whenever there's a lois asay and an asay, so then they are in the parsha. So if you take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, number 4, he writes, "B'nei heges mitzvah zu midereisa be'eretz Yisrael u'b'chol mokim b'zman sha'yevel noig." This mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa only when yevel is noig, which we'll come back to in a few minutes. B'zman sha'yevel noig b'zcharim u'nekeves. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, this mitzvah is both for men and women, and the explanation is why it's time sensitive. You can't get more time sensitive than this. The answer is because there's a lois asay involved. So since there's a lois asay, together with the asay, that's why women are obligated. So if a lady has debt or vice versa, the same rules as men. That's why a lot of women do write principles also. Yeah, it gets a little tricky if she's married and she has her own money, all these nitty-gritty details. But if you have a single girl who's working and independent, there's no reason why she shouldn't write a principle.
The law is the law, you go.
That's right. That's right. There's a lot of collecting it. So if you don't collect, so we're going to have to talk about the kids. The kids are more complicated for another reason, because kids, one of the tenoim to write a principal, which we'll get to Blina the next week, is that the loiva has to have karka. Now kids don't own karka, right? Parents own karka. They own a home. Even if you rent their home, that's considered owner. But kids have nothing.
They have a room, no?
You give that to them. That's not rented. They're not paying you. How high? Oh, so you could do that. You could do a shtick like that. You can be makna them a room, so they now own something. But regular children who live at home do not own any karka. They're not even soicha karka. So if a kid has his own apartment, good. So he's a soicha piece of karka. So we'll get to that. You can get around that also. Like everything else in the world, we get around that as well. Now here's an interesting halacha. Let's say, before the end of the Shemitah year, the loiva goes over to the malva and tells the guy, listen, I owe you $500, I want to pay you. I don't want Shemitah to knock it off. During the year, the Shemitah doesn't knock off yet. The guy comes to Tzim Gedalia. He comes to Tzim Gedalia and says, listen, you're a wonderful guy, you let me money when I need it, here, take the money back. The guy says, I didn't write a prosbol, so gotta follow the Torah. The Torah says it's Mishamit. So the halach is, number five, Kishaba loivim use mostly the freyas chayvay mechuyva malva loim loim mishamatin. So the malva has to tell the loivim, no, I'm sorry, Shemitah knocked it off. You don't have to pay me. Ukvanif teres mi mani. You don't owe me a dime. Achroi shal loivim yoshavol. But the right thing is, the Gemara says already that the proper etiquette is that the loivim says to the malva, afal pikein roitzani l'sitnam laba maton. I know I don't have to, but I want to do the right thing. I want to give you a gift. When you say it that way, Rashoi Hamalva Lito Es Kaspi. So the chiddush over here is, it's not like the money's tainted. The malva is allowed to take the money from the loiva as long as it's clear that it's not a payment. It's not repaying the loan. The loan, the loiva is done, finished. You want to give me money now? Okay, very nice. I'll take the money. So they write in the foot.
You can't ask for the money.
You can't ask. Can't demand it. No, you'll be in a lav if you do that. If you come knocking on the door and say you owe me money, you'd be over a lav. You don't get malchus lav shem b'maisa, but you'd still be.
You just won the lottery. When you were down and out, I gave you.
As long as you can't demand as you.
That
would be nice. It's Yashris. But you can never ask him as in any form of that. And when he comes to you, you have to tell him, I want you to know you don't owe me the money. The guy says, I know I don't owe you money. I learned the sugya also. We learned it together as chavrusas. We both know the sugya, but I want to give it. So the guy says, fine. Do you want to give me the money? I'll take the money. So they point out on the footnote from. Yes, I was waiting for someone to ask me, why is it not Shiloh of Ribbis? That guy does me alone, and then. Yeah, it's a good question. It's beyond my knowledge of Ribbis, but we did Ribbis once here before. Why is it not a Shiloh of Ribbis? The guy does you a favor, he lends you money, and now what happened? Now you're giving him a favor. There must be some reason why this is not a problem of Ribbis.
There's a guy who said, I'm getting two checks in another month, I will pay you back. He's not.
So again,
right.
If the debt schleps out till after and no one writes a prosbol, then he doesn't owe you the money. Now, so what happens? He comes to you and says, you know what, I want to give you the money. So they quote from both Reb Chaim Kanievsky and Reb Yashav, Gevaldik Chiddush. It's not such a Chiddush, it makes sense. You know you have to take Meiser money off that money? Why? Because this is gifted money. So most of us think, if I lend the guy $50, he gives me back $50, I don't take Meiser off that money. It's my original money. Says Reb Yashav, but not here. Because you lost your original money. He's now giving you a new gift. New gifts, you have to take Meiser money off of it.
I borrowed $1,000 from somebody.
Right.
Which means it's mishamit. I don't have to pay him back.
Right.
I don't pay him back. On that $1,000, do I have to give $1,000?
I didn't see anyone that says you do. It's a good question. Why don't we look at it as if you've got a gift from Hashem?
Oh,
for sure. Say definitely over here. For sure, the Torah was definitely going in the direction of the loiva versus the malva, which is why Hillel had to get involved a little bit. But yeah, this chiddush seems to be would not fly in real conservative circles that all of a sudden debt just goes disappears. Right? You know, it's a big chiddush of the Torah. But again, halacha lemaisa, you could ask, you can't ask for it back, but the loiva could give it. But if the loiva gives it to the malva, that money is mamish like new gifted money that you'd have to take off. Meiser from. Yeah.
Does that only hold that this whole Indian is only derisive nervous?
We'll come back. I wanted even to not even write those words now because we're getting ahead of ourselves. I couldn't just put the words Charm and Akavis and it would be too confusing. We'll come back to this whole discussion of what's the status today in Eretz Yisrael and America. We'll come back to all that hopefully in a few minutes. Just to finish up, if you take a look in the bottom, number 5b, the Divrei Makil, the Lom Jerov, so he quotes a Tshuva Sarajbo. He quotes a Tshuva Sarajbo that says, why is there no bracha on this mitzvah? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says, v'zeh dvar shmita shamot kobal masha yadoi, that all the loans disappear. Why is there no bracha? I should make a bracha. This mitzvah. Now, you could argue it's not one of the happier mitzvahs to make. You know, you're not thrilled to say, I'm just going to lose all this money. So he quotes a Tshuva Sarajbo, says, shal mitzvah she'im bay maisa. There's a mitzvah, you don't do anything. You just sit back. Well, that's usually because you usually have a cheftishal mitzvah. Here you just happen not to have a cheftishal mitzvah. Ah, very good. We're going to come back to that in a second. That's what the Div Makil is getting at. So Zok the Tshuva say, Rashba, there's no deeper over here. Right? Because you don't do anything. You sit back, you go into Shul the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and all of a sudden the Chayv just disappears. What did you do? So there's no bracha when there's no mice.
Well, I can say it's like another thing where you get stuck, you know, making the same wrong thing. So maybe this guy will forgive it.
No, it doesn't matter. The Torah forgives it.
Right.
Huh? The Torah does it. I don't need you to do it.
No, but I'm saying if he decides I want to pay you back.
No, but that's a matana. That's not the loan itself. The mitzvah is to forget the debt. I forgot the debt. Now he wants to give me a present. That's a separate chesed. So if you take over the Divrei Makil, we got very intimate over the last couple of weeks. So the Divrei Makil writes this. He says, Samuzi has a kasha. He says, Sorechin, da mitzvah shmita hu shiyayim abepiv. What do you mean? I thought you were supposed to say with your mouth, meshametani. Right? There is some form of an amira where you say the words to the loive meshametani, which the Yireim took literally, which the Yireim took to mean that the malva actually has to say to the loive meshametani, and if he doesn't say meshametani, the loan does not disappear. So for the Divrei Makil, why is that not an action? What happened to speaking being an action? So he says, "V'imkin have a ma'isa d'linyan brachava." They have a deeper k'ma'isa. V'chem mevorchem al ha'toyer. This takes us to another sugi we discussed a month ago. V'chem mevorchem al ha'toyer v'al halal. David rak dibur. We make a bracha on just dibur, right? When we learn Torah, Torah is just a dibur, and we make a bracha on Torah. So why can't I make a bracha on the dibur part of the ribbis of the mishamit? Achze ene d'shom be'emes mishamit memela, says the Divrei Makil, because it's not true. We don't need your dibur to make the loan disappear. Again, according to the Yirei, maybe. But according to the rest of the Rishonim, your dibur is not what makes the loan disappear. The loan doesn't disappear because you say the word Mishamatani. The loan disappears because it's Miketz Shnas HaShmita. So therefore he says, Achzeinu, Deshom Be'emes Mishamet V'meila. The Rakish Omar Mishamatani Yotzebezeh. He thinks that when you say that, you're yoitz or something. But the ikur chiyav, the mitzvah of mishamei taksofim, happens whether or not you say anything or not. Umutter lekabel achakach, meaning, then it just makes it that you can take the money afterwards. Meaning when the loive comes to you afterwards and offers you to give the money, you have to tell him mishamitani. And after you say mishamitani, then you can take the money. But your mishamitani is not what makes or breaks the loan or the debt. Then he says, val pizeh yeshliyash kushes agro. I'm sure everyone remembers this from before Shavuos. We talked a lot about this. The gross kasha. What was the gross kasha? Why would a person think some learning? Doesn't he have to make berachas ha'teirah? Mitzvahs liman ha'teirah gam behirer. We know that you're mekayim talmud teirah by just thinking and learning. So if I'm mekayim the mitzvah of thinking and learning by just hirer, why don't I have to make a berachas ha'teirah for hirer? So he says, ulfi mashik asab no'ati shaper. Tal hirer eim mevorchin she'eim bay maisa. He says, very gishmak. When a person talks and learning, that's a dibur. Dibur is a maisa. You can make a bracha on a maisa. But when a person just thinks and learning, there's no action. When there's no action, you don't make a bracha when there's no action. So he says, he thinks based on this Rashba, we can understand why when a person is maharu in Torah. When a person talks and learning with his chavrusa, he's talking, that's an action. So you can make a bracha on an action. But when you're just thinking and learning, so that's not an action. Things that don't have actions, you don't make a bracha.
You have maharu
a bracha
either.
Right, even though the Rambam talks a lot about making maharu a bracha, but you don't have to be maharu a bracha either. So I thought this is just Kishmak, to connect to a sugi we talked about before Shavuos. Now let's get into the background over here. What's this whole Shemitah's Ksof and what's going on over here? So there's a Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Vav. Same Gemara is found in Moed Katan. The Gemara tells us like this. The Gemara really wants to know who gave Hillel the right to make a prosbol. So the Gemara tells us the following idea. We're talking about Shvius in our days. What does it mean Shvius in our days? The Rebbe. And we're going according to Rebbe. The time you live in the Brisa, Rabbi Yoimeh, v'zed dvar hashmita, the pasuk told us in Parashas Rei, v'zed dvar hashmita shamoit, b'shtei shmita sakos bedaber. Says the Gemara, Rabbi thought that when you read our pasuk, and we're talking about shmita, we're talking about two types of shmita, not just one, shmita's ksafim, we're also talking about what's called shmita's karka. Says the Gemara, so b'zman sh'ata mishamit karka, ata mishamit ksafim. When the karka is applicable, then the ksafim also gets nishmat. But if you don't have any regulations, restrictions on the karka, then there is no din of Shemitah's Ksafim. And the whole Shemitah today is only mid Rabbanon. Why? Just to be a remembrance to the good old days of Shemitah. What's going on? What are these two Shemitahs? What is going on over here? Let's see. Rashi number 8. Took Rashi. V'omr Rabbanon de Tishamit. Bezman hazeh. Which means today, really, we don't have Shemitah's Ksafim. Bezmanazeh, there really is no din of Shemitah's Ksafim. Why? Because there's no din of Shemitah's Karka. What is Shemitah's Karka? If there's no Dinei Shemitah's karka, so why do we spend all that money sending money to Eretz Yisrael last year to help them support Shemitah? So Taisvis over here explains, Rabbi Nutam in Taisvis, Shemitah's karka doesn't mean the working of the land of the year of Shemitah. That, of course, applies even today. Shemitah's karka, says Taisvis, means the dinim of Yoivel. The din of Yoivel doesn't apply today. What's the dinim of Yoivel? So the major din of Yoivel is that steachuza go back to the original owner. The guy buys property that was in someone's family. He buys it from that family. So that returns in the year of Yoivel. So it says, Taisvis, that's what it means. Shemitah's karka doesn't mean you don't have to keep Shemitah in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Of course you have to keep Shemitah in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So what does it mean in the Gemara when it says Shemitah's karka? It means the dinim Yoivel don't apply today. So since the dinim of Yoivel don't apply today, the dinim of Shemitah's ksafim also doesn't apply today. Now really those two things have no direct shaychus to each other, but the Gemara makes a drasha. Since it says in the pasuk, V'zed zvah ha-shemitah shamait, it sounds like we're talking about two Shemitahs. So what are the two Shemitahs? One is referring to the rules of Yoivel. One is referring to the rules of the Shemitahs Ksafim. So if one is in play, the other is in play. If one is not in play, the other one is not in play. Now why is Yoivel not in play today? Yeah.
But even in Shemitah, wasn't there a thing like if you bought a house in a walled city, it stayed with you?
Yeah. There are rules and regulations.
Right, it wasn't just the point.
Correct. But the concept of Yoivel, which means there are certain fields or homes that will return to the owner, or slaves will return to the owners in year 50. That's Yoivel. So therefore, that din of Yoivel has to apply in order for the din of Shemitah's Ksafim to apply. So why doesn't Yoivel apply today? Who says it doesn't apply today? So if you take a look over here in Taisvis, so Taisvis has a great question. Frek Taisvis, if the Rabbanan brought in Shemitah's Ksafim on a Rabbanan level, so why didn't they make us keep Yoivel on a Rabbanan level? Why didn't they make Yoivel applicable? Now you have to remember, if you had a Shemitah year, so you had Shemitah, and you had Yoivel back to back. That's a double whammy. That's 2 years of no work in the field.
In the third year, you
were nothing. Then, right, it was very, very difficult. So Taisus has a kasha, so why didn't the Rabbanan decide to be Misak and Yoivel also? What does it mean to be Misak and Yoivel? It said that we have to have the rules and regulations of Yoivel. It says Taisus, nah, v'had lo'i tikkun nam Yoivel zechel Yoivel, b'shem de'ein roiv tzibi choyim lamad b'la'asa b'aboy de'zakakash te'shon mitzufas. You can't ask people on a rabbinic level to take 2 years off of working. If the Torah says it's one thing, but the Rabbanan should do that. That the Rabbanan didn't do. The Rabbanan did do was they knocked out all the debt. That they were willing to do.
We don't have Yoivel direction.
Ah, so why don't we have Yoivel? So if you take a look in the bottom over here, so quickly let's just see the take a look at number 12 on the next page is the Gemara in Erchim. So again, everything hinges on Yoivel. The Gemara's svara is that when there's no Yoivel, then there's no Shemitah. And we're assuming today there's no Yoivel. So the whole din of Shemitah is only Midrabanan, which means Midaraisa, when Rosh Hashanah comes, the Leiva owes the Malva all the money.
Well, why isn't there a Yoivel, quote unquote,
then what's the rationale why we got rid of
that? Ah, so we'll get to that in a second. Okay,
exactly, that's what the Gemara in Erech is going to say. But here's something just to think about for a second. We'll have to get into this more when we talk about the principle. What does this mean? It means Midaraisa, Levi, the Leiva owes the Malva money, and the Rabbanan came and said, no debt, we cancel the debt. Which means Midaraisa, the debt is live, it's real. The Rabbanan came and canceled the debt. So the obvious question, which the Gemara itself asks again, how did the rabbi do that? If the Torah says this, the rabbis can't change that. So this is the famous Gemara where we have the rule of Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. The rabbis have the authoritative power to control money. Right? They can control money. They could say, even though on the books the Loiva owes the Malva money, we say no. We say the Loiva doesn't owe the Malva money. That's the whole way it's going to work. But again, the takeaway from this Gemara is that on a deraisa level, there is no Shemitah's Ksafim today. Why? What?
Why do we have
Kutzlars
in Shemitah? We don't have Shemitah's character in Kutzlars.
We didn't say anything yet about Kutzlars versus Eretz Yisrael. We just said Bizman Hazeh. What does Bizman Hazeh mean? It doesn't mean Kutzlars. We'll get to Chilukim between Eretz Yisrael and Kutzlars in a second.
Even if we wanted to serve Yovel, do we know anymore when Yovel?
They do. They do in Eretz Yisrael. They know when it is. The question is, why don't we have Yoivel? At least, again, maybe you don't want a Hakarat. Maybe you don't want to have Yoivel for Yoivel purposes. Like Taisa said, we're not going to go back to Asering another year. But at least let us know when Yoivel is so we can figure out Shemitah's Ksafim. So there's a Gemara in Erechim. The Gemara in Erechim, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis says, the Gemara, the Tanya lived in a Braisa. Mishagolu Shevet Reuven, Vishavet God, Vichati Shevet Menashe. When Reuven, God, Vichati Shevet Menashe went into exile from Eretz Yisrael, Botlu Yoivlois. That's when Yoivel came to a close. There's a whole discussion, very interesting historical question. At what point in history did they stop commemorating Yoivel? Because the Gemara says in the pasuk, "Karasim d'ra ba'aris l'chol yeshveh." Does anyone know where this pasuk appears in secular world? On the Liberty Bell. If you go to on the Liberty Bell, it says, "Karasim d'ra ba'aris l'chol yeshveh." Okay. So next time you go to Philadelphia, when all the kids go to seventh grade, by us, every seventh grade girls go to the Liberty. My daughter went last year. Good. Across him, the drawer bars the choyish. That possible. What does it mean? Bizman shekol yoyishveo aleha. The din of Yovel is only when you have kol yoyishveo aleha. All of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael, v'loy bizman shegolu mitzasim, but not when some of them are not there. So some people say, well, what about today? Do roiv the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael? So we're not there yet. Some say we're closer than we think, but does it matter? The answer is it doesn't matter because of the next line of the Gemara. So again, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like if most of the Jews would move to Eretz Yisrael, then Yovel would become a chiv. If Yovel becomes a chiv, then Shemitah's Ksafim would be back into play on a deraisa level. But the next line of the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says, Yachol ye oile vehemu rav and sheva binyamin bihuda vesheva yehuda binyamin ye yoivel noig. Let's say everyone comes back and everyone's mixed. No one knows where they're supposed to be, which sheva they're supposed to associate themselves with. Tamaloyma lechol yeshveh bezman sheyeshveh kitikunan. Everyone is where they're supposed to live. You can't have half a sheva living with a different. No one knows what sheva we're from except for the Levim. Kehan and Levim know they're from Sheva Levi. The rest of us, we don't know, except for the Bnei Yisachar. How do you get the name Bnei Yisachar? Because his Rebbe told him you're from Sheva Yisachar. So he named his sefer Bnei Yisachar. But the rest of us don't know what Sheva we're from. So therefore, according to the Gemara, even if we'd have a mass migration of people to Eretz Yisrael, which is happening, definitely parts of Europe, Jews are leaving France and other parts of America also Jews are leaving, but we still wouldn't have Yovel Deraisa because we wouldn't know where we're supposed to live. Good. So now we know Yovel's not Negebez Manazeh. If Yovel's not Negebez Manazeh, according to Rebbe, it's only Rebbe Shita. The Rabbanim disagree. Keep that in mind. Rebbe Shita is when there's no Shemitah, there's no Yovel applicable, then there's no Shemitah's Ksafim applicable. So if there's no Shemitah's Ksafim, that whole thing gets thrown out. So then there really be no need for a Prusbul. So why are we writing a Prusbul? Just for the rabbinic level. Since mid the Rabbanon, Shemitah is still in place, so we're going to have to deal with that din for a Prusbul. Now if you take a look over here, there's basically four major Shitas Rishonim to deal with. Four major Shitas Rishonim. What are they? So let's take a look. Number 13. He did me all the favor. He wrote down where everything is, so I don't have to start running around and showing you the Maran Mekremis. Number, first Shita. Shita Se'iter. Sheshmitas Ksofim is Manazed De'iraisa. The first Shita is against the Gemara. The first Shita holds, no, that the din of Shmitas Ksofim today is a din De'iraisa. Why? The Kaimalon Kirabonon De'Rebbe. Because again, the Gemara says Rebbe holds Shmita and Yoiva go together. But there's a Rabbanan who disagree. And the Rabbanan say one has nothing to do with the other. Therefore, the Balu Itter decided to paskin like Rebbe. And according to the Rabbanan, Shemitah's Ksafim is 100% Daraisa today. So the Loiva would not have to pay back the Malva on a Daraisa level, not on a Rabbanan level. That's one opinion. It's not a minority opinion. We had Tiku Gam Besefer Kaftim Aferach, Kosak Kena Rabban Besefer Aschus, Shadvarim Mereim Shu Divrei Torah, Kosakim Besefer Akshum is good. That's Shita number one. That's the most extreme Shita. The most extreme Shita is that the whole Gemara is irrelevant because Shemitah today is Deraisa. Shita's base is the Rambam. What's the Rambam Shita? The Shemitah's Ksofim is Manazed de Rabbonin. The Rambam Shita is today, like the Gemara seems to read, that the whole Shemitah's Ksofim today is only the Rabbonin, the Kosef Kain Haran, the Haraivid, Kosef Kain Harosh, Bashem Rebbe Natam Sefer Yoshua, the Kain Dasarif, the Dakoponim, the Rabbonin Oik. I mean, according to the Rambam, it's like the Gemara reads. Shemitah is in play, but on a rabbinic level. But it's still very real, but albeit on a rabbinic level. So we now have one extreme is it's Nagea Deraisa, and the other extreme it's Nagea Derabon. Third Shita, Deri Bartzoloni, Hamuva Besefu Ita Besefu Atruma, the Shemitah's Ksof Nehegev Zanazeh, Be Eretz Yisrael Bavad Veloy Bechutzlart. Now we're starting to depend on where you live. Some people hold that the din of Shemitah is Noig on a Deraisa level in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutzlart. The Afilu Prusbol Loy Tzarech Shaman in Chutzlart, you don't even need a Prusbol. Why don't you need a Prusbul? Because the dead is not going anywhere. The dead's not touched. Either Gemara. Didn't the Gemara say that the Rabbanu were Misakin Shvius? The Rabbanu were Misakin Shemitah's Ksofim? Yes. Where were they Misakin it? In those areas near Eretz Yisrael, those countries bordering Eretz Yisrael. Like we saw, right, when we talked about Chadash a little bit, we mentioned such a Svara, that Chazal, the Rishonim decided to border those countries bordering Eretz Yisrael, but America, which is very far from Eretz Yisrael, we're not even in the Takana, so Shemitah is not at all affects our money, no need for a Prusbul. And then the last Shita is the Shita of the Baal Hamor, the Shemitah's Ksofim, the Heges of Zanazeh, Kiv the Shemitah's Ksofim, Tolu B'Yovel, I the Gemara, says Midrabanon, yeah, that was only the times of the Gemara. That was in the times of the Gemara where they still had some form of control. The Bezdin still did something. But today where we have no Bezdin, we have nothing, there is no Shmitas Ksofim even on a rabbinical level. So if you added up the different Shitas Rishonim, there's quite a few Rishonim that hold there really is no need for a Prozbul today. Why is there no need for a Prozbul today? Because my loan isn't really touched. My loan wasn't really affected. We read the Psukim in Chumash. Yeah, that was talking about when Yovel was Noik. Or that's talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Or that was talking about when Bezdin actually had some form of power. But today, in America, the loan is absolutely safe. There would be no need for a Prozbul. Fine. How do we paskin? So first of all, let's see the Torah. The Torah writes over here, number 14, let's say a guy loans a guy money. He says to him, you know what, I'm going to loan you money, Amanas, that we're not affected by Shemit. Says the Torah, that's a Tanai against the Torah. What do you mean, against the Torah? But if Shemitah's Ksafim is only Dindra Abani, you didn't go against the Torah. Next comment from the Torah. Hashmata's Ksafim applies today also. So the Torah made two very seemingly innocent statements that most of us would say, okay, well, what do I see from these statements? Comes along the Bach, and the Bach says, you know what I see from these statements? I see something amazing. I see that the Torah held that Shemitah's Ksofim is Negev, Bezman, Azeh, Midoy, Raisa. Why? Because how else would it be Masna, Masha, Kasab, Torah? Masna, Masha, Kasab, Torah means I went against what it says in the Torah. The Torah said that Shemitah's Ksofim applies today? No, it doesn't. According to many Rishonim, the Torah never talked about Shemitah's Ksafim in America in 2020, whatever year we're up to, right? So therefore, Zach, the Bach, if the Torah writes that Shemitah, that making a debt, making a deal with your friend, that you don't want Shemitah to be affected, that Shemitah's Ksafim shouldn't affect your loan, is going against the Torah, it must be that he holds that Shemitah's Ksafim is applicable today on a deraisa level. That's serious. That's heavy duty. So therefore, according to the Torah, it comes out that Shemitah's Ksafim is a din deraisa, then you really need a Prozbul. If you don't have a Prozbul, you're really, the loiva has the upper hand. Now it's interesting, just quickly, we'll read 13b, the Sefer Chinuch that we mentioned earlier, Zok the Sefer Chinuch. Avo bizman she'en ayoivel noig ein Shemitah's karkois uksofim noyeges midaraisa. Says the Sefer Chinuch, like we saw many Rishonim, that since there's no yoivel today, the Shemitah's Ksafim is merely rabbinic. So the Sefer Chinuch is that in between Shita. That the Gemara says that really there's no Shemitah's Ksafim today because there's no Yovel. But the Rabbanan instituted Shemitah's Ksafim on a rabbinic level wherever you live. Whether you're in Chutz Laaretz, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter. So the Sefer Chinuch is what's a good bulk of the Rishonim, that we have Shemitah's Ksafim today, but it's strictly rabbinic. It's strictly on a rabbinic level, it's not midderais.
Even
a Chutz Laaretz, yeah. The Bach, yeah, the Bach holds that according to the Torah, it's even a Chutz Laaretz. It's a big Chiddush. Right, if Shaila is, we didn't read it, so has he learned the Gemara? The Gemara sounds like it's only Derbanan, so the Bach has a whole way how to reread the Gemara.
And what would be a reason that, if you hold that it's a Deraisa, that the Prozbul would work, which is the Rabbanan tool?
So that's where things are going to get very tricky. If you hold that we're in the deraisa level, so how can the Rabbanan do things? So the answer could be that the Rabbanan have such a power that they can even affect things on a deraisa level.
This is where the feminist
skill is. Yeah. I agree. Right. So you see that the Rabbanan have such power, they can play around with a deraisa type of debt, so they have some, that's how the Bach basically words the Shita. Now how do we pass on Allah HaLamaisa? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So take a look with me on the bottom 16 left corner, I apologize. It's hard to figure out how to make room for everything on one paper. So let's see. So there's one siman in Shulchan Aruch that predominantly discusses the rules of Shemitah, Ksafim, and Prozbul. That's Choshe Mishpat, Siman Samach Zayin. So if you want to study it up on your own, Siman Samach Zayin, Choshe Mishpat. Says the Mechaber, Ein Shemitah, Ksafim, Neheges, Menat Torah, El Bezman, Shayyevel Noik. Shemitah, Ksafim does not apply in a din deraisa, on a deraisa level unless Yovel is Noik. Umidivrei Soifim, but on a rabbinic level, Shetei Shemitah, Ksafim, Neheges, Bezman, Azeh, Bechom Makim. So the Shulchan Aruch was, like we saw from the Sefer HaChinuch, like we saw from the Rambam, that in-between Shita. That's basically the simple reading of the Gemara in Gittin. That today there is no Shemitah on a Deraisa level because we don't have Yovel. We paskin like Rebbe, you have to have Yovel in play. And we don't have Yovel in play like the Gemara in Erchin. But the Rabbanan instituted that we should keep Shemitah's Ksafim. Why? So we should remember there's such a thing called Shemitah's Ksafim, but it's rabbinic, and it's rabbinic everywhere you go. Eretz Yisrael, America, China, wherever you go, it's the same rabbinic din. Which means, if Rosh Hashanah comes and goes, and you don't write a Prozbul, so Midday Raisa, that loan is very real. Midday Rabbanan, that loan is negated. That's what comes out Halacha L'maaseh. No. Midaraisa, the loan is, meaning the Shemitah does not knock out the loan. Because there's no Yovel, and therefore if there's no Yovel, there's no Din Shemitah's Ksofim. The Rabbanan came in and said, no, the loan is knocked out. So on a rabbinic level, the loan is knocked out, while on a deraisa level, the loan...
Right,
which means Shemitah's Ksofim Noig means that the loan gets knocked out. So the loan, the Din of Shemitah's Ksofim, which means the loans disappear, that only works when there's Yovel. So today there's no Yovel, so as far as the Torah is concerned, the Loiva owes the Malva money. The Rabbanah came and said, no, we're going to make the din, we're going to apply the din on a rabbinic level that the Levit does not owe the money to the Malva. Now, we'll see, look at the Ramah for a second. This is just also fascinating from a history standpoint. Says the Ramah, Hagol, Kenu Haskomas HaPoiskim. That's the opinion of most Poiskim, like the Rambam, like the Chinuch, like the Shulchan Aruch, that Midaraisa today, again, it gets confusing. Shemitah's Ksofim means that the loan gets cancelled. So if Shemitah's Ksofim is not negay, that means the loan does not get cancelled, that means the loiva owes the Malva the money. Says the Ramah, Avo Yeshoimim Dein Shemitah Nehegev Zudanazeh. Some people say it's not noig today. Which was some of the Rishayim that we saw. That Shemitah is not noig today at all, whatsoever, zero, garnished. Not even on a rabbinic level. V'nirish Aleim Somchu B'dinas Eilu Shein Noigim Din Shemitah Klab Zudanazeh. Says the Ramah, and that's why in so many communities, they never bothered to write a prosbul. Because they never felt they needed a principle. Because they hold that the din of Shemitah's Ksafim is not negeya. V'nir shalim tzokhim din tzeilu she'ein noigim din Shemitah klal, bizman hazeh, v'aminig hoi noigim adayim bizman harosh, k'ma shikasa b'tshuva sh'ayir tzeveach k'kruchya, levatal aminig v'le ashka chebei. He was trying to be levatal aminig, we'll talk more about this in a second. V'kosv gam kein ha'achrenim. Tam l'aminig she'ein noigim Shemitah, k'mavur b'divim ha'rik. So therefore says the Ramah, there are plenty of people that felt that the din of Shemitah's Ksofim is not negated today. What does that mean in English? It means that the loive can come and collect from the Malva. Simple. You don't need a prosbo. The Malva can collect from the loive, which means there's no need for a prosbo. So therefore says the Ramah, even though that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch, I'm telling you a fact that most people, most communities conduct themselves under that assumption.
But what in the sense that he was screaming to Levatel
Minug? Meaning this Minug of not writing a prosbo. Right. So Rav Moshe has a Gevaldik Ketshuva over here.
There's a lot of these fellow kind of, you don't do it.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to get to in this year. Everyone's making everyone so quick. Prosbul! So I'm going to show, again, I don't mean to take away that. I think we should all, we'll see. Many Achorenim write, everyone should write a prosbul because why not? It doesn't hurt you, it doesn't cost you. But Zakir Moshe, let's say you didn't write a prosbul. Zakir Moshe, number 18. Hine bedover Misha shachach melas his prosbul. I forgot. Busy day. Erev Rosh Hashanah is a busy time. Vahaloive einei ratzel lefrei bishvil zeh. The loive is not such a nice guy. The Levi says, I don't owe you a dime, I'm not giving you a dime. Go, take me to court. Vahamalvehu ish ani. I don't know why Rav Moshe throws this in. I guess that might have been the storyline or not, but it happens to be the Malva is Taka, a poor guy. I'm on 18 left, and then I'm jumping over to page 3. Zok Rav Moshe, this is the shadow presented to Rav Moshe. The Malva never wrote a prosbul. Now Rosh Hashanah is over. Now the Malva comes to the Levi and says, pay me up. The Levi says, nice, no way, I'm done. I'm out. Is there any way, because the Malva is a poor guy, he needs the money, is there any way you can do it? So normally you would tell the Loiva, listen, Loiva, be a nice guy. But the guy doesn't want him. So Rav Moshe starts off, says Rav Moshe, you have to know. Even if you hold Shemitah's Ksofim is deraisa, which means on a deraisa level, the Loiva owes nothing to the Malva. You should just know that the rabbis like you to return your debt. You don't have to. We can't force you. But it's very, very much encouraged that the loiva pays back his debt. Not when it's against our halachas. That's always the tricky part with dinam achus adin. Dinam achus adin is all fine and dandy unless it goes up directly against the Torah. Or Chazal for that matter. We spoke about this once many years ago maybe. We talked about bankruptcy in halacha. How does that work? Because the halacha, there's no such thing called bankruptcy in halacha. But in Din Machus Adin, it does exist. So I don't remember what we said then, but we definitely crossed the shayla of what happens when those two things come together. So Zakir Moshe, umash medem eina machzer hu ovel mitzidoi. You're doing something wrong. I mean, the loiva shouldn't walk away saying to himself, I beat the system. I didn't have to pay back the debt. No, the right thing really is to pay it back. The Tanam begins, he quotes the Gemara. Good. But Zakir Moshe, the loiva is not such a from a guy. Can I take him? Zokter Moshe, if it's late. Zokter Moshe, Avayeshloimar, Avayeshoimim. Dein Shemitah Nehegas Zanazer. Vahinu Abala Moshe, Avi Agro. V'chein shavah harayvi v'asogos av al-rif. U'masik ha-ramo v'nir sha'aleim somch v'din es elu she'noigim din shmitas klav v'zman hazeh. Harayt ha-ramo somch kein ladino. Says Ramosha, look at the Ramo. The Ramo was clearly justifying the behavior of hundreds of years in Jewish history under the banner that there is no din of shmitas k'safim. D'lechein. I know that we have this beautiful thing called a prizbol, which bypasses all of this legal issues. It's not because they really hold that Shemitah is applicable. This is an amazing chiddush. All those Jews who wrote prizbol over the years in history, it wasn't because they felt, and if I don't write a prizbol, then I lose the chayv. No, they just figured, why not? What does it hurt? It doesn't cost you much. Might as well do it. Zaki Maisha Ken Zayin, even they would agree if a guy didn't do the prizbol, maybe we follow Me'ikar Adin like those Rishonim. Zaki Maisha Memeila Ula Nishtan Etzma Minag, the Bnei Ashkenaz. The Loihoyu Noigim Shmit Askshafim Ledino. Says Rav Maisha, when it calls Minag Ashkenaz. Minag Ashkenaz was not to really worry about the debt. So the Mechaber was very clear about it. The Mechaber says it's Noigim on the level of the Rabbanan. But the Ramah, he's saying that Ashkenazi Jews never really bought into this. Ah, so Taki Shail is about these things. What would happen then? According to Rav Moshe, there's so many Rishayim that really help, and that was a very accepted practice in Jewish history, that we never thought that the loan gets knocked out. And we never had a need to write a principle.
It's not even a din the Ravana.
Right. Like those Rishayim that said the whole thing is out.
Like
so Zokri Rav Moshe, Mimela, this is the best part. Shagam be irishly also prosbushlay goivin ozum of sidim lahamalve, ulchain yeshlonu loimar, dadain yeshlonu minik deris akadmoini baashkan as ubisfarad, says Svarad over here, shayahoyu noigim bashmatas ksofen. For how you goivin hachavis gam be bezdin afshe noigim at a lichte prosbo. Says Ramesh, even though of course we write a prosbo, but Zot Ramesh, you can't deny the old practice. The old practice was you would collect debts bizmanazeh. Dari enoi onu bimnei bineihem ukemat b'choladvarim onu oisim
kagamo.
Right? So it comes out according to Rav Moshe, if a guy were to forget to write a prizbol, he still can probably collect on the debt. So everyone who's running around, you know, whatever, you know. Again, so we stopped here for a reason, because the next three Maharim HaKoyim all say, you better write a prizbol. Okay, so they lived before Rav Moshe, but this is just a little bit of a sprinkling of the background over here of prosbol. And believe me, the next week we're going to see, we might be all a year too late. It could be we all should have wrote a prosbol last year.
In which case, we
rely on what you said. So believe me, we'll have to get to that in Mitzvah next week.